Good morning, Hope Church. My name is Mark and I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. A really warm welcome to Hope Church Online, wherever you may be watching across London or even in other parts of the world. You're really welcome to join with us this morning. Now, last week we began a new preaching series looking at an Old Testament prophet named Elisha. And the title of this preaching series is Ridiculous Faith. And if you missed last week's sermon, I do encourage you to go back. You can watch them all on YouTube or on the church website. But if you missed it, we looked at taking steps of obedience, even if you don't understand everything fully. We also looked at burning plows and how sometimes you need to leave behind your securities to walk into your God-given destiny. Now, let me ask you a question. I wonder how many of you have played the if-only game. You think, if only I had such and such, then life would be easier, life would be happier, life would be better. If only I had a better job. If only I had more money. If only I had more hair. If you're single, if only I had a husband, or if only I had a wife. If you're married, if only I had a husband that looked like George Clooney or whatever it may be. I don't know what your if only is. What would it be? But it's something that we all think about in life. And I want to encourage you today to think about today's message through the lens of your greatest need. Now, the context for today's passage and the preach is 2 Kings and chapter 3. Let me just give you a little bit of context of 2 Kings chapter 3. There were three kings who joined forces to fight and battle against the Moabites. And basically, the three kings thought it would be an easy win. 3-1. We'll have a decisive victory. But instead of winning easily, the three kings find their troops marching round and round in circles for 7 days, wandering in the desert. And they realize that they're completely out of water. The troops and the animals, the horses, are completely out of water. They have a very significant need. And in this moment, in this need, they then turn to God. Isn't that so often the case? That our greatest need turns us and drives us to depend on God. And in a strange way, we often find a blessing when our need drives us to depend on God, and then God blesses and answers our need. So let's look at scripture, 2 Kings chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 9. So the king of Israel, with the kings of Judah and the king of Edom, so the three kings, and when they had made a circular march of 7 days, found that there was no water for the army or the animals that were with them. They're in trouble. Then the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord has called these three kings to give them into the hand of Moab." And Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here through whom we can inquire of the Lord?" Then one of the kings of Israel's servants answered, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." And Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to Elisha. Let's pause for a moment. Let's look and see that we're totally clear about what's happening. Three kings going into battle against the Moabites. They think they're going to win easily. They find themselves in a right pickle with no water and about to die. Now you need to know that these three kings were not seeking God and serving God at this time. They weren't. They were living in evil ways and had departed from following God. But all of a sudden, when they were in trouble, they turned directly to God. And they think, God, can you help? We're in trouble. And they ask the question, is there anyone here who is good with God? Anyone here who is kind of in touch with God and following the Lord's ways? And they're told that there's Elisha, the prophet, who spent time with Elijah. Elisha already in his short ministry has parted the River Jordan, has spoken to polluted water and made it clean. And Elisha was mentored by Elijah, and Elijah had been the one who had brought about rain during a drought in the time of King Ahab. So the kings go to Elisha in their desperate need, in their evil ways, when they are in a drought, when the situation looks terrible, they turn to the prophet. They turn to Elisha. So let's look at Elisha's response to the three kings. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, "What have I to do with you? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother." But the king of Israel said to him, "No, it is the Lord who has called these kings to give us the Moab, to give us the Moabites." Now, I love Elisha's response. He's fearless, isn't he? He's not impressed with the persona of man, and he taunts the king of Israel. He basically says, "Look, what have I got to do with you? Why don't you go to your mum? Why don't you go and hire your dad's magicians? Why on earth are you involving me?" Let's read on into verse 14. And Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts live, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you nor see you." So Elisha's basically saying, "Look, I am the Lord's servant. And only because of Jehoshaphat, only because Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, in previous days lived in a godly manner and followed the Lord God Almighty, only because of that will I hear your plea and will I come to your aid." And this is what Elisha says in verse 15. "But now, bring me a musician." In some versions it says, "Bring me a harpist." "And when the musician had played, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha." So Elisha says, "Okay, I'm with you. Now I want you to bring me a musician." Worship, whether it be instrumental worship, whether it be sung worship, but worship invites the presence of God. It invites the Holy Spirit to come on individuals and gatherings. There's something about worship and music that just opens heaven for the presence of God to come down. It's basically an invitation for God to move. And we're told that the hand of the Lord then comes upon Elisha. It's like he brings the musician. He spends time in the presence of God. And then a fresh outpouring of the Spirit comes upon Elisha to bring the word of the Lord to the three kings. Now, I love what then Elisha says, because he gives them a ridiculous command. In verse 16, I'm just going to read from a New King James Version in this verse. And Elisha says to the three kings, "Thus say the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. You're like, hold on a minute. What did you just say, Elisha? I thought we need water. I thought that we're going to send rain. But you're telling thirsty troops, tired troops, to take a spade and to dig ditches in the hot sun. That is ridiculous faith. Let's read on verse 17. Elisha's saying this, speaking again. For thus say the Lord, you shall not see wind or rain, but that those ditches shall be filled with water, so that you shall drink, you, your livestock, and your animals. This is an easy thing in the sight of the Lord. God will also give the Moabites into your hands. This is an easy thing for the Lord. Don't you just love that? What Elisha says to the three kings, to the God Almighty, it's an easy thing. To the all-powerful, almighty one, this is a piece of cake. To bring water for your need and to defeat the Moabites. This is easy. Now I want to apply the story of Elisha, the story of 2 Kings chapter 3. I want to apply that story to our lives. I want to look at faith that works. I want to talk about a faith that so believes that God is going to act, that we act and take a step towards God, believing that God is going to take a step towards us. We're going to look at a faith that is active, a faith that moves the heart of God. I've got two principles for us, two things to look at. Number one, only God can send the water, but sometimes he wants you to dig a ditch. James 2 and verse 26 says, just as a body is dead without breath, so also is faith dead without good works. Only God can send the water, but sometimes God is looking. He wants to see your faith. He wants you to dig a ditch. God is the God of the universe. He can do all things. Nothing is impossible for him. But he says to us, to his children, to his sons and daughters, he says, show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. You see, God loves to see our faith in action. It's all through scripture. In the New Testament, let's give you a few examples. Jesus is walking on water and Peter is in the boat and he cries out and says, Jesus, is that you? And Jesus says to him, come. So what did Peter do? Peter gets out of the boat and starts to walk on water. What are we doing at that moment? We see Peter's faith. All the other 11 disciples are sat in the boat. We don't see their faith. But by Peter getting out of the boat and walking on water, we see his faith. There's a guy in the Gospels who has a withered hand. And Jesus says to him, stretch out your hand. Now, Jesus could have healed him with one word. But he says, look, I'm going to heal you, but I want to see your faith. I want you to stretch out your hand. There's the paralyzed man who couldn't walk for years. His friends break down the roof and put him in the room where Jesus is teaching and preaching. And Jesus says to him, pick up your mat and walk. I'm going to heal you, Jesus says. But I'm not going to pick you up. I want to see you have faith to put into practice and believe what I have said. Again, let me just make it crystal clear. Only God can do the miracle. Only God can send the water. But sometimes he wants you to get out of the boat, to stretch out your hand, to pick up your mat, and to dig a ditch. I think too many people are just waiting for God to show them faithfulness, but not showing God any faith. You want to heal a relationship that's gone bad in your life. So what do? You forgive them first. You treat that person with love. You dig a ditch and ask the Lord to do the miracle. You want your children to grow up loving Jesus, to be strong and godly men and women. So what do? You open your Bible and you speak about Jesus at mealtimes. You pray at bedtimes. You make sure your children get on the Kids Club Zoom in the afternoon or Kids Club gatherings when that becomes possible. You dig a ditch. You're a godly parent and you let Jesus do the rest. People say, I want more money. I want God to bless me financially. And yet they don't tithe. You see, there's a ridiculous principle in scripture of digging a ditch financially, which is giving 10% our very best to the Lord and trusting the supernatural power of God that the blessing of the Lord will be upon our 90% to multiply that well beyond the 100%. You see, a tithe is digging a ditch and asking God to do the rest. Single people, single men, single women, you can often say, I want a wife, I want a husband, but we sit around and do nothing about it. You need to, you know, get in the shower, guys. Get your hair cut or get a job or, you know, start serving in the life of the church or even just go and ask someone out. Dig a ditch and let God send the water. Let me ask you a question. What ditch is God asking you to dig? You know, as a church at the moment, we are digging a ditch. We're digging a ditch for a building. We found a building in Stratford that we're interested in. We've instructed a lawyer to say to the agent that we're serious and we're starting to dig a ditch. We need a miracle, but we're starting to dig a ditch. It's going to need huge amounts of money. It's going to need a change of use from the council. It's going to need to be refurbished. But we're digging a ditch. Only God can send the water. But sometimes he asks you and I to dig a ditch. If God's going to give us a building, only he can do that. If God's going to provide a finance, he can do that. But he's asking us to dig a ditch. The second principle is this: real faith believes big but starts small. You know, some of us who would say that we're Christians, we don't have a big enough view of God. You know, the Bible tells us God can do exceedingly, abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. Others of us are the other way around. We believe God can do great things, big things, mighty miracles, but we're not willing to start small. Think about it. How do you dig a ditch? You take a shovel and you put it into the ground and you put away a shovel of earth. And then you do that again and again and again. You do that thousands of times over to dig a ditch. You start small. It takes one small action to then begin to dig a ditch. Zechariah 4 and verse 10 says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." Big vision, start small. Start with what is in front of you. I love the story of Airbnb, how Airbnb began. If you don't know it, you can read up on it on the internet, but it's fascinating how two friends who lived in San Francisco were struggling to pay their rent. And they noticed that all the hotel rooms in San Francisco were booked out for some conference or other. So they decided back in 2007 to buy a couple of airbeds, pump them up, put them in their living room, and create a website called Air Bed and Breakfast. They gathered and they had their first few guests, and the idea was successful. Now you've got to read, there's a whole story then of persistence and determination and creativity that happened over the years. But in 2007, it started with two airbeds, and now Airbnb is worth $25 billion as a company. It started small. Hope Church began with 20 people meeting in a cold canteen of a school in Stratford just over 10 years ago. We had no worship leader, we had limited funds, we had no office. We just had a bunch of people faithfully acting on God's promptings to dig a ditch. I could give you many, many more examples, but the principle is clear. Think big, start small. God, I believe you can. Start small. You see, God loves it. He loves it when we participate in his miracles. When he can see our faith. Because faith without works is dead. Let's look at verse 20 to sum up what happens with Elisha and this miracle. The next morning, at about the time of offering, behold, water came from the direction of Edom to fill the ditches with water. The next morning, the water came and filled all the ditches. A supernatural miracle that provided water for the troops and for the animals and led to the victory over the Moabites. Only God could do that. But he wanted the three kings and their troops to dig a ditch. Now, some of you have a significant need in your life. You have a "if only God would ... in your life. I want to ask that need, that biggest "if only" would drive you today to God, and it would drive you to ridiculous faith, to dig ditches, to start where no one else is, to start small, believing big. To start when there's not a cloud in the sky. My prayer for us, individually and corporately as a church, is that we build ridiculous faith. Let me conclude. God knows. He knows the needs that you have right now. Just take a moment and offer up your needs to the Lord. Just wherever you are, offer them up to the Lord. Lord, this is my need. You know my need. You know this area of my life that I need your help in. You know this challenge that we are facing. Offer it up to the Lord. And then let me ask you this question. Do you want a ridiculous faith? Will you dig a ditch or do whatever it is that God asks you to do long before you see what he promises to do? Is God asking you to do something that makes no sense? To forgive someone when it wasn't your fault? To give away some money? To start a business? To start a ministry? Whatever it may be, God alone does the miracles. But he asks us to dig the ditches. To be like Noah, building an ark in a dry and barren land without a cloud in the sky. So let's have ridiculous faith, Hope Church. Let's dig ditches. Let's believe big and start small. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you are an awesome God. We thank you that nothing is impossible for you. We thank you that you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or imagine. And thank you that you involve us in your miracles. And I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you would speak to us so that we might know what ditches you have called us to dig. However crazy it may seem, we would be obedient to your word and dig the ditch. The miracle is yours alone, but you participate with us in that miracle, and you ask us to show faith and to put it into action and to do what you have prompted, to dream big and to start small. So build in each one of us, I pray, in this season, a ridiculous faith in the Lord God Almighty. Amen.